This is the Hot Corner on the Sports Superstation with your host, Ryan McKenna.
Come on in and welcome to the Hot Corner. Good evening, everyone. This is the Hot Corner, the source for all your Major League Baseball needs. I'm your host for the third consecutive season, Ryan McKenna. First off, I'd like to mention how big of an accomplishment it's been to be doing this show for a third straight year. It's no easy task to get these scripts together, and one of the main reasons for keeping this going is to hear the feedback from you, the listeners. So thank you guys for sticking around. It's been a very busy stretch for myself personally since the start of December. The battle to apply to post-secondary schools has been a busy one, and that has been taking up the majority of my time. But enough of that nonsense and on to the big issue at hand, the 2011 Major League Baseball season. Spring training has just about wrapped up and all 30 baseball teams are making final cuts trying to prime up that 25-man roster for opening day, which takes place Thursday, March 31st, just tomorrow. This first edition of the Hot Corner will quickly examine all six divisions in Major League Baseball and tell you what moves have affected these divisions. Let's kick things off in the East divisions in both the American and National Leagues, starting in the National League East.
The Hot Corner News.
The team that absolutely shocked the baseball world with the acquisition of Cliff Lee left so many jaws hanging, you could almost stick a giraffe in them, if you tried. Okay, folks, just get your mind out of the gutter. Come on, man, as they say on football broadcasts. Yes, the Phillies were that mystery team that Cliff Lee was in contact with, edging out the Rangers, Yankees, and Nationals on having the dominant lefty on their team. This will provide a filthy is probably an understatement, of a starting rotation for the Philly squad. It will look something like this: Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, Roy Oswalt, Cole Hamels, and Joe Blanton. Find me a better rotation, and I'll give you Albert Pujols money. That rotation itself gives the Phillies a great shot at the postseason, and maybe even more, if that permits. Other news in the NL East in the winter is the new manager in Atlanta, Freddie Gonzalez. Gonzalez's old team, the Marlins, acquired former Jays catcher John Buck, as well as Javier Vasquez, who will look to find the shine he had when he returns to the National League. The Mets will start the season minus their ace, Johan Santana, who is returning from shoulder surgery and looks as though will not be available for the first half of the season. And you can't forget Jason Wirth. He signed a 7-year, $126 million contract with the Washington Nationals. And the Nationals also received an interesting spring from top prospect Bryce Harper. Let's see what's in store in the AL East. Okay, I'll admit it. The East Division stole the show this past offseason. The Red Sox made waves this winter, signing outfielder Carl Crawford to a nice little contract, while also acquiring first baseman Adrian Gonzalez from the San Diego Padres. Gonzalez is entering the last year of his contract, so the Sox will try and work out an extension with him. Probably the only flaw the Red Sox have is at the catcher's position, with Victor Martinez's departure. They did booster their bullpen with Bobby Jenks and Dan Wheeler, but with that said, they will need to find a way to stay healthy because that just absolutely killed them last year. Their bullpen and being healthy. The Yankees' rotation will be a bit shaky, as at the moment at least. Not being able to acquire Cliff Lee really hurt their chances, especially when Andy Pettitte decided to retire on them in December, I believe it was. Every other part of their lineup looks flawless, however, so we shall see how things play out for the Bronx Bombers. The Blue Jays, Canada's team, have a new manager in John Farrell, the Red Sox old pitching coach, and a new look starting rotation that will be led by Ricky Romero, and a fat contract for Jose Bautista. If Bautista can keep up his production from the spring, then the Jays should be able to develop their rookies well, and who knows, stay middle of the pack in the AL East. No one really expects them to win the division this year. Brandon Morrow will, however, start the season on the DL, therefore that causes some concern for Jays fans. It does look as though Kyle Drabek will be in the rotation to start the season, but the Jays will be taking it slow with him, there's no question about that. The Tampa Bay Rays have had an interesting winter as well, shipping off Matt Garza to the Cubs. They lost a ton of players via trades and free agency as well, so it will be a struggle for them in my opinion. Desmond Jennings will hopefully land in the big leagues as well, at some point this year, which will hopefully provide a spark for the race. Another spark was the acquisition of Manny Ramirez and Johnny Damon. I'm sorry, but in my opinion, Damon is washed up, and well, Ramirez is a long shot to provide some offense burst of some kind. He's aging. But the Baltimore Orioles have had a great winter as well. They acquired Vladimir Guerrero and Mark Reynolds, also J.J. Hardy and Derek Lee. So a few new faces in Baltimore. Vladdy is having a great spring, so if that can continue into the regular season, then watch out for the Orioles to potentially jump into the number 3 spot in the AL East and potentially surprise some people. That's my prediction. Now, if they are somewhat of a contender come that time, they will look to acquire some starting rotation piece because at this time they're relying heavily on their young guns to provide for them. Let's kick it over to the NL Central now. After a great season by the Reds last year, they will look to build on that and make a push for a World Series appearance this year. Not too many changes for the Reds though, just a couple of minor acquisitions. Shortstop Edgar Renteria makes his way to the Red Nation. Renteria is coming off a World Series MVP performance last year with the Giants. The St. Louis Cardinals winner was shadowed by two things. Number one, Albert Pujols' non-contract extension, which will make him a free agent at the end of the year. Pujols does not want any distractions during the season, so he set a date by the start of spring training to reach an extension with the Cards, but that fell through. So it looks more and more likely that he will be a free agent come season's end. And the second thing, Adam Wainwright, a 20-game winner from 2010, is gone for the year with Tommy John surgery. I read somewhere that, actually it was Ken Rosenthal's Twitter account, that Wainwright threw almost the most breaking pitches in Major League Baseball with over 1,400 last season. Though, a big positive is the acquisition of Lance Berkman from the New York Yankees. He will platoon the offense along with Matt Holliday. The Milwaukee Brewers were a busy team, too. They acquired Zach Greinke and Yonesky Betancourt from the Kansas City Royals, as well as Sean Markham from the Toronto Blue Jays. Moves that will provide what they've been lacking, and that's pitching depth. The only downside is that Greinke will not start the year with the Brewers. He suffered a basketball-related injury and will miss some time to start the year. Hall of Famer Fergie Jenkins, who I had the pleasure of interviewing a couple months ago at the Credit Union Place in Summerside, you can listen to the interview right here on SportsSuperstation.com, thinks that the Cubs are right there with the acquisition of Matt Garza, and a few lucky breaks could lead them to having that postseason berth that they've been needing for a few years now. They did lose Derek Lee, which could be a downside for them. However, if Kerry Wood can keep the bullpen in lockdown mode with Carlos Marmol, watch out for them Cubbies. Finally, I don't even really look forward to talking about these guys, but, well, you got it. They're in the division. Pittsburgh Pirates and Houston Astros ran out the Central. Not much to say about these guys except the word losers. They will be in a fight for fifth place in the division. That much is for sure. Pittsburgh did acquire Lyle Overbay, though. Yes! Yes, boys! Boys! Eh, not so much. Enjoy the double plays. He always hits into the old Pirate fans. All black and yellow. The Chicago White Sox will have to compete hard if they look to take control of the AL Central. They've got one heck of a starting rotation, sorry. And if Jake Peavy can ever stay healthy to make 5 consecutive starts for them, they look to be in good shape. They also look to be in good shape in the DH position, with the acquisition of Adam Dunn in the offseason. The Tigers, with newly acquired V-Mart, Victor Martinez, will hope to build on what was a disappointing 2010. It did start off, however, with shenanigans from first baseman Miguel Cabrera that landed him with a DUI and, well, the whole 9 yards, yada, yada, yeah. One downfall is Carlos Guillen. He will miss the entire season with knee surgery. My pick for the AL Central Division, and I believe it was my pick last year too, is the Minnesota Twins. They will have to have key contributions from guys coming back from injury. Joe Nathan, their closer, who had Tommy John surgery last year, and Justin Morneau, who was sidelined with post-concussion syndrome since July of last season, seems to be fitting back in well, and hopefully they can keep healthy for the Twins. Filling that void that J.J. Hardy left at the shortstop position, the Twins went to Japan and acquired, excuse my pronunciation, Tsuyoshi Nishikawa. Gonna have to take some lessons. He's had a great spring so far, hitting .346 and has an on-base percentage of .793. So hopefully he can keep up the good work for the Twinkies. The Cleveland Indians' biggest move this offseason was adding a new hat to their repertoire. Seriously, it's a beautiful hat, but they did nothing to improve their on-field performance. And, well, the Royals, they're Zach Greinke list, so... Though the Indians and Royals are probably going to be in a dogfight for last place. It's going to be close, guys, so watch out. Rounding out Major League Baseball, the NL West. The NL West saw the emergence of the World Series champions this past season in the San Francisco Giants. And they have a great chance to repeat this season as well. Offseason moves seen them replace World Series MVP Edgar Renteria with Miguel Tejada, but that was about it. They still retain a killer starting rotation, much like the Phillies, which will see the likes of MLB's top greasy player, Tim Lincecum, Matt Cain, Madison Bumgarner, Barry Zito, who did have a great season start to last season, don't forget that, guys. But he did fade near the end, and that landed him being excluded from the postseason lineup. And rounding out the rotation is Jonathan Sanchez. Catcher Buster Posey will look to build off a rookie season that's seen him show why he's with the big club. A .305 batting average, 18 home runs, and only 108 games. Challenging the Giants is in a very close NL West division will be the LA Dodgers, who made a few moves in the offseason, signing John Gerland in hopes of bolstering that starting rotation of theirs, which I believe, personally, will be their keys to success for the Dodgers squad. If they're ever going to make a good run for that division, they're going to have great pitching. The Ubaldo Jimenez Colorado Rockies will also compete with the Giants. If players such as Troy Tulowitzki and MVP candidate Carlos Gonzalez can stay healthy, you just never know with the Rockies. The Diamondbacks may surprise a few people. They've got the aggressiveness to do so and the mentality that GM Kevin Towers and manager Kirk Gibson. And I think if Justin Upton can spark the offense, they may be your 2011 surprise team. Mark it on your calendars. I did say this. Finally, the San Diego Padres season is over. I'm sorry. It's over. Adrian Gonzalez is too big of a loss in my opinion. Sure, they will still compete, but not having Agon in the 3 or 4 spot in the lineup will really hurt their chances. We'll finish off our outlook with the AL West. What will be probably the most wide-open division in Major League Baseball this year, the AL West is sure to provide lots of excitement. The Texas Rangers have one potent batting order and defense, but what will be their falling point, and I know I'm not alone making this point, is their pitching. Great bullpen, but the starting rotation doesn't seem to have enough oomph. But times will tell, however. The LA Angels had a bit of a makeover in the offseason. With the acquisition of Vernon Wells and his humongous contract, he will definitely make them a better ball club. They did lose catcher Mike Napoli in the trade, however, as he was shipped to the Jays and in return for Wells and then quickly shipped off to Texas for Frank Francisco. Having a great lefty in your bullpen such as Scott Downs certainly won't hurt them either. The Oakland Athletics did not make a lot of moves, as always, as they usually rely on their farm system and internally to do a lot of their work, but they did get newbies David DeJesus in the outfield and Hideki Matsui, and they just may not be that bad of a ball club as many think. The Mariners will wrap out that division. I can't believe that just 1 year ago the Mariners had such high hopes, and I think I was even one that was included in this group that thought that they might have even had a shot at the World Series, but that's all gone now. Pitching will be their falling point. I've mentioned this a lot during this show, but they have King Felix, the AL Cy Young winner from last year. But keep an eye out for Canadian Eric Bedard. It looks like he will be ready for opening day, so you just never know what he will bring to the table. That was the Hot Corner's outlook on all 30 Major League Baseball teams entering this year's season. I realize it wasn't a detail this last year's. We spread last year's out over a month, I believe. But hey, it got the job done, and hopefully you know where your favorite team sits starting the season. Regular season action gets underway tomorrow, March 31st. It's hard to believe we still got ball going on when we still have snow here on the ground. There's 12 teams in action tomorrow. Some of those teams include the New York Yankees. They play the Tigers. A good pitching matchup there between Verlander and CeCe. And the World Series champion San Francisco Giants will face off against the Dodgers. I'm going to lead you out this week with some Canadian content. Well, I'm on the topic. The Jays start their season at home on Friday against the Twins. Here's what it is. We got some classified. That ain't classy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great first week of baseball. I'm Ryan McKenna.
They call me Mr. Negativity. Call it how I see. Yes, I'm back in the vicinity. Bringing what you need plus all of the amenities. Not what you consider the run of the mill, running the drill. None of it's real celebrity. Oh, no, no. I don't let any of it get to me. I am more a mystery, mentally and physically. Yeah, I seen the bright lights ever so vividly. Party with the star types and mingle with the industry. But jeez, we don't need another hero. I relate to real people, not these self-centered weirdos. Flamboyant wannabe, oh so flashy. If you ask me, that really is a classy. You'll never see me with my sunglasses on in a club, dancing on a table to my own song, getting buzzed. And you'll never see me with a couple bottles of Chris, trying to pick up on a chick like, you want this? That ain't classy.
Yeah, I was playing my song. Yeah, I got a record label that's put me on. But I still stay classy, still stay classy, still stay classy. I'ma do what I gotta do, hey. If you're not relating, it's hard not to hate them. Don't care what they say and I ain't changing.
Hey yo, my daily insecurities got me locked down like I'm sitting in security. Getting locked down and it never did occur to me. It presented perfectly verbally. My uncertainties could turn into my currencies. You'll never see my shirt wide open with the chest hair blowing in the wind. I know it. And you'll never see me lose it trying to justify my music at award shows cause I didn't win. I know it. I'm adamant I won't become extravagant cause yo, my management and the guys I travel with, they having it. I'm just an average man who happened to have a plan. Never had a front on who I am to attract a fan. And don't be mad cause I never pop bottles. I don't waste my money, I save my money. Return and pop bottles, don't hate. Wait, I ain't trying to say I'm trying to get paid. I'm trying to work and earn the money I make. That's class.
Yeah, I was playing my song. Yeah, I got a record label that's putting me on. But I still stay classy. Yeah, still stay classy. I still stay classy. I'ma do what I gotta do. And if you're not related, it's hard not to handle. Don't care what you're saying, I ain't changing.
Nah, that ain't classy. Nope, that ain't classy. That ain't classy. Cause this is how it's going down. Yeah, now I'm the one making many beats. Pumping in the trunk, I'm the one smoking plenty trees. Puffing in the club, I'm the one getting loose. Friday night having fun, spilling drinks on the wifey. When I'm a little drunk, that's classy. I guess I'm the ultimatum. In a genre where I'm often hated cause they not relating. And I don't feel offended, everyone can say their piece. I just really hate pretending, so all you get is me, that's classy.
The radio
was
playing my song. Yeah, I got a record label that's put me on. But I still stay classy.
Yeah,
still stay classy. I still stay classy.
I'ma do what I gotta do.
And if you're not related, it's hard not to hate them. Don't care what they're saying, I ain't changing. That ain't classy.